Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Proverbs 6:6 through 11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no guile, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. These words were written by inspiration by Solomon to his son Rehoboam, and these words were evidently given little heed by the recipient of them. Wordsworth said of the Proverbs of Solomon, "They came from above, and they also look upward." Now, a proverb literally is a comparison of things. We have a comparison in this passage between a sluggard and an ant. Possibly we should say we have a contrast between them. Proverbs teach wisdom, emphasizing the necessity of vigilance over the heart and the duty of acting according to God's unerring standards. Solomon turns to nature to reveal truths that nature illustrates to mankind. In many ways, nature is a teacher of men. While nature cannot teach us how to serve God or how to be saved, we can learn much of the ways of God through nature because nature is used by God to illustrate the ways of God as Scripture reveals them. Nature might be thought of as the footprints of God, giving us evidences of the evidence of God. We can even enlist nature's attributes as a helper to learn the ways of the human heart. And from the ant, for instance, we shall be taught wisdom, stirred to a sense of duty and responsibility, and even be motivated to fulfill our role in life more effectively. Of course, nature, like all other teachers, can only instruct those who will consider her ways. One of the real problems in learning is the unwillingness of so many of us to be open to being taught. Many simply will not consider what they need to learn. They dismiss it without consideration. And like medicine, which can help the sick, it can help only when it is properly applied. Anyone who will consider the Word of God can profit from it. One who considers the lessons taught by nature can profit from nature. Solomon encourages at the start that we consider the ant and be wise. It may seem ironical that man, the highest and noblest of all of God's creations, is told to turn to one of the lowest and simplest forms of life and learn basic fundamentals about duty and about work and about responsibility. But that is the case. The first of three lessons that we shall consider is the industry of the ant. The ant is a very industrious creature. Have you ever taken the time to watch the ants at work? There is not one among them that is slothful and lazy. All of them are hard at work, willing to do their part. Someone has cynically said that he was in a congregation where everyone was a willing member. Some were willing to work and the others were willing to let them. Consideration of the ant will shame an indolent person who indulges himself in ease, avoiding labor. The dignity of work has too often been replaced with the attitude and action of doing just as little as one can do and think he can just get by. Exerting the least effort seems to be the goal rather than getting the job done with many. Our present life, friend, is a time for action. Rest comes after this life, Revelation 14:13. To substitute rest at the time that calls for labor spells defeat. While intervals of relaxation and recuperation are needful for periodic rejuvenation, every Christian ought to have the attitude expressed in the reply of one Dutchman who said, when he was asked why he wrote and translated so long and late day after day rather than resting, he responded, "Rest elsewhere." Now, rest is right in its place, but the right thing at the wrong time becomes wrong. God watched over the sleep of Elijah when Jezebel sought his life. But had he continued to sleep, once he was awakened and told to engage himself in that great contest on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, then he would have sinned against God, himself, and his countrymen. The time for rest and ease is not now. Christ, through Paul, places a premium on hard work. Paul said, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." In 2 Thessalonians 3, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we beheld not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any should not work, neither should he eat." Now this principle is true today, just as much as it was then. The Lord did not teach that those who could not work should not eat, nor those who did not have opportunity to work should not eat. But those who would not, when they could, ought to be allowed to go hungry until they change their ways. Christ worked. His disciples worked. Idleness brings poverty. It is a destroyer. The old adage that says an idle mind is the devil's workshop is surely true. God will not support without work, but by work. If we do our part, God always does his. And the second lesson we can learn from the ant is that we should work while there's opportunity. Now, the ant provides her bread in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest, makes preparation for the lean months during the months of plenty. Her embrace of opportunity is a loud rebuke to those who would put off until tomorrow what they can and should be doing today. Her example is like that expressed by Christ in John 9:4. "I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." As Joseph told Pharaoh to lay by in store during the plentiful years so there would be ample supply during the lean years, so should we seize opportunity when it is ours. We should not object to this on the grounds that the Savior said, "Take no thought for the morrow," Matthew 6:34. Jesus did not teach against planning for the future, but against being anxious about it. God will provide, that's not questioned. But we must take note that God provides, but we ignore the opportunities sometimes that he's provided. He provided for Egypt, but they had to lay by in store. He provided for Israel in the wilderness, but they had to gather the manna. Why should we think he will provide for us in addition to the provisions he's already given, but we ignore them and that we fail to utilize them? God is already providing for many of us, but we're not taking advantage of his provision, as would the ant. Too many are living up all of their provisions in pleasure and luxury and fun and games. Without proper consideration, they may well be using up God's provisions for the future. The words of Christ spoken regarding worry over the future are true, and they are vital. But we must use intelligence and good stewardship and seize the opportunities and provisions that God has given us. There are cares we can attempt to carry that are burdens because of fear and doubt. But there are cares that we must meet, and we can expect both kinds in life. But we must exercise diligence toward opportunities like the ant does while the day is upon us. And a third duty seen by considering the ant that is of individual action and initiative. Without a chief, without overseer, without ruler, the ant works as she does, motivated by her own motivations. You know, some people have to wait for others to take the initiative, letting others clear the paths, standing idly by, waiting for others to do what they should be doing themselves, at least waiting for someone to direct them in the act. But these same people will often talk about work, but not actually work. But the aunt put forth her full effort, being urged on by her own sense of duty. It seems that there are those who never work until somebody else urges them to work, or unless someone is watching so it will be known that they are working. To work only when there might come some notoriety for what you are doing is to lack the proper motive and the initiative and the sense of personal responsibility to do as we ought. We should do as we ought, if nobody else knows it but ourselves and God. It really ought never have to be that Christians be urged to be a part of the work done by the church. So many become discouraged because they have to beg their brothers and sisters to carry their fair share of the load. Nobody ought to have to be begged. Like the ant, without others having to pressure them into action, we should assume our task and perform those tasks, each bearing his own burden, making sure each does as is expected. The exhortation to consider the ant. It condemns forever the lazy, negligent, indolent, haphazard, lax, slack, indifferent approach in the performance of our task. What we do, we should do heartily, Colossians 3, verse 23, and with all of our might, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, as if we're working for the Lord, which we are, Ephesians 6, 6 and 7. This should be true of us, respecting even the mundane and temporal and physical duties of life. But even more so with respect to our spiritual duties and our spiritual service rendered before God as laborers in His vineyard. Spiritual sluggishness has been a plague of too many of us, and it can contribute to our personal and collective ruin. We cannot reap what we have not sown. Sowing demands effort. Unless there is sowing, there can be no reaping. We cannot be prepared to meet God in judgment unless we've made the proper preparation. There's a story of an ancient Grecian general who came upon a guard who was asleep on duty, and he thrust the guard with his sword, leaving him dead. Being chided for his severity, the general simply replied, "I merely left him as I found him." Now, the moral of the story is very simple. We dare not allow ourselves to be found napping, dear friend, in those matters of life that affect our relationship with God and our eternal destiny. And we can consider the ant, and we can learn from the ant, and we can be wise in our service to God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.